Hi, Avril here from Access Credit Union. We are delighted to once again sponsor the Star Sports podcast. As part of our range of new business loans, we now offer Cultivate Farm Finance, the farmer-friendly loan package. With a Cultivate loan, farmers in West Cork can benefit from the local decision-making and personal service offered by Access Credit Union. To find out more, go to accesscu.ie/cultivate, call me on 085 268 2727 or 028 21883, where a member of our team will be happy to help you with your inquiry.
Close your eyes and pull like a dog.
And a new Irish record for Phil Healy, 22.99.
Christy Cooney hands over the Sam Maguire Cup to Graham Canty, Cork All-Ireland champions for the seventh time ever.
Hello and welcome to the Star Sport podcast. My name is Jack McCarran of the Southern Star. Before we kick things off, I'd just like to give a gentle reminder to our listeners and viewers to please rate, review and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube. The Star Sport podcast is brought to you in association with our friends at Access Credit Union. Access Credit Union, where your bank really does matter. Choose the credit union, choose local, choose community. On this week's show, we're going to be joined by Mike Cohan, captain of the Lyre Overside that secured a famous Beamish Cup final victory over rivals Clonakilty a number of weeks back. Mike was chatting to Ger McCarthy at the Celtic Ross Hotel in Roscarbery on Tuesday when Lyre were awarded with a West Cork Sports Star Monthly Award for their Beamish Cup exploits. We're also going to chat to international freestyle kayaker Anise O'Donovan from Skibbereen. Anise has an incredibly interesting story to tell, and she's also been speaking to Ger McCarthy. So let's jump straight into it. Here's Mike Cohan, captain of the Beamish Cup champions.
Now, I'm delighted to be joined here at the Celtic Ross Hotel for tonight's ceremony for the monthly award winners, who are Lyre Rovers, following their Beamish Cup success, West Cork League Beamish Cup final success, defeating Clonakilty Soccer Club 1-0 in the final. I'm joined by the captain, Mike Cohan, and by the manager, Tom Barry. Tom, if I could start with you. You weren't there on the day of the final, but I'm sure the cup was brought around to your house shortly afterwards. What does this mean for the club? Because I know how much time and effort goes into it, not just from the players, from the people behind the scenes as well.
Yeah, thanks, George. It's a great achievement. It was nice to win it for the first time, especially when we lost the final a couple of years ago. But hopefully now it will give the whole club a lift going forward.
You had a full squad out that day. You've had a big panel. You need a big panel to play in the West Cork League because you've been struggling at the wrong end of the table at the Premier Division. But how important was it to have all those players available on the day itself?
Very important, because when we have a full team out, we're as good as anyone in the league. Like, it's just about the GAA commitments that we're always missing a few, but in fairness to all the GAA clubs, they left us have all the players this weekend, so it made a big difference.
Yeah, and it did, because Clon beat you twice in the league, and it just showed what you're capable of when you have all your players. You turned it around on the day itself.
Yeah, we're very strong, especially at the back. Like, and goalkeeper is very strong with plenty in midfield, and Sean White and Shane up front will always score goals. Like.
And he did on the day itself. He converted that winning penalty. Mike, if I could turn to you, from your point of view, having played Clon a couple of times, coming into the final, you were underdogs, you were rank outsiders, but you showed what you could do against not alone Riverside in the final, but in Kilgobin away and Bear away in the early rounds. And this is why it's so important when you win a Beamish Cup. You're playing the opposition's best team, because they always put out their best teams for the Beamish Cup itself.
Yeah, I suppose Saturday against Kilgobin, I suppose we were 2-0 down going into the second half, and we hadn't really played great. Again, we were under strength or whatever. We'd only 11 the same day, I'd say. But then we got a man sent off, and it was only then we started playing, really. Like, you know, when the lads dig in, you know, there is a fine squad there. But then we got stronger. Of course, when we went down in the rounds, we got stronger, and we got our best team out for the semi-final and final then. So that just shows that we are strong enough for any team in West Cork or whatever, but we do need a squad. So, like, we played Clan twice earlier in the year and they beat us comprehensively, really. We weren't at races at all the same day. But again, we were probably under strength, so being underdogs going to the final probably suited us because we knew ourselves that we would be strong enough when we had our full squad. So being underdogs totally suited us going to the final then.
Yeah, I saw you in that semi-final win over Riverside. You got off to a rocky start that day, but you turned it around, as you said. How important was it to get that game under the belt at the Baltimore Road ground where you played the final?
Yeah, that was massive to us because, again, that was probably maybe the second time in the year that 11 had played together, and playing in Skibbereen as well when the final was there was huge because, like you said, it took us 10 minutes, quarter an hour to get into the game. But when we got untapped in, when fellas knew what everyone else was doing, we knew then that we were going to be strong enough, and fellas relaxed into the game and we took it from there.
Yeah, and just the final itself, you were playing a Clonakilty soccer club team that were, after knocking out the three in a row chasing Dunmanway, who had beaten them in the previous two finals, so they were going very well. They're still in with a shout of winning the Premier Division title, so it was a real task for you that day. But just on the day itself, it was a tense cup final, I'd say, more so than anything else. But the chance when you got the penalty, Shane stuck it away, and it was good enough to win it. But from your perspective as a player on the pitch, what kind of a game do you remember it being, or do you remember anything from it?
Yeah, sure, like, it was tight like that, but that probably suited us because, you know, if it was going to be a goal fest, we were never going to come out and tap against Clan. Like, so like, our game plan was to keep it tight, like, and like, nil all for as long as possible was going to always suit us because we were only going to win it by the odd goal anyway. So, like, that was basically our plan, like, just to keep it tight and keep them from scoring. No, probably Johnny Lee, he was probably a big loss to Clan as well because he has been scoring goals and stuff, and he's a big threat up front and he's good to hold it up and everything. So, like, we were probably lucky in that sense, but at the same time, like, fellas performed well on the day, like, so.
They certainly did. Now, Tom, you had two able deputies on the sideline that day, Derek Draper and Willie Griffin. I mean, were you in contact with them at any stage, or had you laid out a plan, or how did it all work on the day when you weren't there yourself?
I was following Joe McCarthy on Twitter.
Good answer.
No, we spoke Saturday evening because I was fine Saturday until Sunday morning. I woke up and I was constantly on the phone between them, and we kind of sorted out the team. We had a fair idea where we were going to play and how we were going to play, so I was in contact with them during the game as well. Like.
And just from your own perspective, I mean, obviously you were disappointed to miss it, but you put a huge amount of time and effort into this club, not just this year, but down through the years. I mean, it's not always been easy. It's not easy being a manager in any sport, but especially in the West Cork League. But it's a fantastic achievement, and having Garrod, your son as well, play such an important role. It must have been a lovely moment for you when you heard that final whistle come through.
Yeah, it was you know, a great sense of achievement and everything, even though I wasn't there, like, but to a lot worse if they lost and I wasn't there.
That's true, but from your own perspective, I mean, you've seen the West Cork League down through the years. You know what the most difficult, the Premier Division is the top division. It's a hard thing to win, but the Beamish Cup is when all teams put out their strongest available side. So to win it is a real achievement.
What was it like? We had to play all our games away. We played Kilgobin away, we played Bear away, and we played Riverside in Skibbereen, which was, so like, it was a great achievement away from home as well, like all the games. But no, we had a good enough strong squad nearly every game, I'd say.
And does it make it easier to come back again next season, or decide to come back, or to stay involved, because you've got a really dedicated bunch of players here?
Well, I have no problem getting involved, like, but whether they'll turn up on the Sunday mornings is going to be the big issue again. Like, but, like, to be fair, they're all young fellas, like, they're going to college, they have work, yeah. They have GA commitments, and they're playing other sports as well, like, so yeah. We're making the best of what we can do, like, so hopefully it might give them a lift to gel them together better and get stronger every Sunday, like, and have a rattle off the league.
Mike, how do you know how many years you're playing with Lawyer, or has it blended into the background?
I'd say I've been playing West Cork soccer. I think it was my 21st season.
Wow.
Playing West Cork soccer, so, like, that made it special winning it for the first time as well then, and stuff like that. Now, like you said, there's a fine young team there. I don't know if I'll be part of it anymore, but no, like, 'tis massive for Lawyer, like, for, as a club, like, with young fellas coming up and the underage structure they have in place now, and the new pitch, a second pitch. So like, it is massive for Lara to win this first Beamish Cup, like, and hopefully kickstart things going forward, like that they'll keep the numbers up and keep the fellas that were involved this year involved again next year, and bring on the younger fellas with them again. That's what it's all about, really, is bringing on the younger fellas and keeping the club going, really, is the main thing. So hopefully this will be a huge starting point now for that going forward.
It'll be very hard to walk away from it, Mike, when you've lived and got a taste of it, though. I mean, I know there's a nice blend of youth and experience in that squad, and there has been. You need that. But, I mean, you win the Beamish Cup, you get everybody's back up and running it again, get a good start to the league. Would that be enough to keep it going? We're going to say yes to that because your manager's nodding away.
Well, I would have retired about 3 years ago, only for Tom Bay. Like, Tom is unbelievable. Like, he's the driving force behind that team, like, really, you know. He'll be on to fellas day and night, and like, if they can't make it, there's never any problem, but he'll keep them in mind for the next day, and he'll be on to Merlin the week again, making sure that they're there the next day. And yeah, like, the work he puts in is unbelievable, like. But as for myself, I don't know, like, I can't, I won't say never, but yeah, I should retire. Like, I'm 38 now this year, so.
Yeah, you're still young.
That's still young enough. Listen, we'll leave the final word to the manager, because at the start of any season, you don't know how it's going to go. You don't know what player availability. You know yourself, as Mike, you're no different than the other West Cork League manager, and trying to get players out on Sundays, it's difficult, and there's GA and there's everything going on. But all the effort and the time and things that are happening at Lyre as well, the new pitch, great underage structure, a lot of support. There was a huge amount of support there on the day of the Beamish Cup final. There's lots of reasons to be positive about Lyre Rovers' future, Tom.
Oh, definitely. Like, we have very good facilities and everything, like the work me hall puts in, like, and even all the underage trainers, like Sean Moroney, all the way down, like, they've all put in fierce work, like, and they're bringing on players all the time, like, and we have the players in the facilities, so why not?
Well, it's a fantastic way to end the season. We hope to see both of you back next year on this island and wearing Lyre Rovers. Mike Cahan, captain of the Beamish Cup winning Lyre Rovers team, and manager Tom Barry, thank you very much.
Thanks, George.
Delighted to be joined by Avril Condell of Access Credit Union, who's here to tell us a little bit about Cultivate Farm Finance. So Avril, maybe just give us a brief introduction to what Cultivate Farm Finance actually is.
So Cultivate is a collaboration of 40 credit unions throughout Ireland. West Cork has both Access Credit Union and Bantry Credit Union. The loan itself is up to 75,000 unsecured for 7 years. Is the max term, but obviously can be personalised and customised to each individual's needs. It's a great facility actually for farmers, because it covers cash flow, machinery purchases. Like, there's a fertiliser crisis now, as we know. So literally anything that is required for the farm can be covered by this loan. The rate is very competitive. We can match the repayment term and the repayment frequency to each individual farmer, depending on their enterprise. And you also have the benefit of the life cover that comes with the credit union loan, which I think is very important for people these days, at no extra cost.
And if I'm a farmer and I'm listening to you on this podcast today, how can I get involved?
So if you're not sure of which credit union you're involved with, you can go to Cultivate Credit Union directly, which is www.cultivate-cu.ie. Or you can phone 1800 839 999. And if Access is your credit union, you can contact me directly. So it's avril@accesscu.ie, or you can ring me on 085 268 2727.
Irish international freestyle kayaker and Skibbereen native Anissa Donovan is living in a van whilst chasing her dream of competing at the 2022 and 2023 World Championships. From Cornishall, between Skibbereen and Drina, the 22-year-old rising star is a name to watch out for over the next 2 years for followers of West Cork sport. She caught up with Ger McCarty to chat about her ambitions in the sport.
Now, we are delighted to be joined here on the Southern Star podcast by an Irish freestyle kayaking team member. There's things I never thought I'd introduce in my life, but it's fantastic to have a Skibbereen native as well. 21-year-old Anais O'Donovan joins us. Anais, how are you?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I'm really good. It's great to talk to you. We've recently found out that you're part of the Irish freestyle kayaking team. But before we go any further with the conversation, the first question I have is, I know what kayaking is and I've seen a bit of kayaking, but my first introduction to freestyle kayaking was seeing some of the videos on your Instagram page. So for those who haven't seen it yet, it looks very dangerous. But can you explain, please, what the difference is between kayaking and freestyle kayaking?
Of course I can. So freestyle kayaking is basically gymnastics in a kayak. You're doing somersaults, flips, tricks in a boat, and you have 45 seconds to put down as many tricks as you can to get the highest number of points against your competitors.
Gymnastics in a kayak does not sound easy. It doesn't look easy. So where did the attraction to even trying this come from, Anaïs?
I'm a gymnastics instructor. I've been coaching gymnastics for about 9 years. And when I started kayaking, and I started with whitewater kayaking, I just saw someone doing what's called a loop. And that's basically a full 360 rotation, a somersault in your kayak. And I just thought, wow, okay, this is what I want to do. This is awesome. And I think ever since I started hitting that goal, I've been hooked ever since.
Yeah, I've seen some of those clips of you doing that. Explain to me how, in the name of God, the kind of training that you need to put in to actually pull that off. Because it's one thing to do those as a gymnast, but when you're inside in the water and very, very rapid and difficult and you know, tough conditions, and you're in a kayak, to perform that kind of a flip must take a huge amount of training and preparation.
It does, of course. I mean, we spent hours, you know, in the beginnings on the flat, and then we moved to moving water. And to be honest, you only see the good stuff on the Instagram. Most of the time, we're just being snapping into the water and being completely washed around. But yeah, with a good bit of training, anything is possible, I guess.
You said that you were attracted to this type of thing. Obviously, you're into gymnastics. You're a personal trainer. It's your line of work. But were you aware of the amount of time and effort that it would take to actually master some of this?
I honestly thought it would take a lot longer, but I'm extremely stubborn, so I'm not going to let kayaking get the better of me. So when I want to do something, I'm going to do it.
And tell me, I mean, what age were you when you started kayaking to begin with?
Oh, I started kayaking when I was 19, and I'm 22 now, so nearly at it 4 years.
But even at that, Anaïs, that's still a very, very short period of time, and in that, you've been over to Nottingham as part of the Irish team for international training. That's a huge dedication in such a short period of time. You must be delighted to have made such progress in such a short period.
I'm absolutely delighted, and with the opportunities for the world's best features, it's been incredible.
How did the making the Irish team come about?
I had a goal in my head that I wanted to represent Ireland, and then we have like a team selection every year. I went to it to try out, and thankfully I made it again this year, so I will be representing Ireland at the 2022 World Freestyle.
That's fantastic. But I saw on your Instagram page that as part of your training for when you did make the first Irish European Championships teams, you were training 3 to 4 hours a day, 6 days a week. Is that correct?
It was around that. So at the moment I'm living in Nottingham, so I'm training 5 days a week, and I do about 3 to 4 hours of water training every day, and that's linked in with some strength and conditioning, cardio training, flexibility, mobility, and I suppose obviously diet and stuff comes into to the equation as well.
It's a big commitment, Anaïs. It's a real full-time commitment. It's obviously something you're very passionate about and something you're very good at, but it does take a lot of time.
It takes a lot of time, and those wet cold mornings when it hailstones down, it doesn't make it easy, but the buzz we get at the end of a training session, it does make it worth it.
How proud a moment was it to first represent your country at this sport?
I honestly can't even put it into words. It's such an honour to be able to say that I've represented my country, and to be there with some of the top athletes on an international stage. You know, you are literally standing next to world champions, and they're just on the same level as you in a way, and it's incredible. It's amazing.
A lot of the preparation, a lot of the commitment, it takes time, but it also takes money. And you've been lucky that you've had some fantastic sponsorship from your home in West Cork.
Unfortunately, we aren't an Olympic discipline. We don't get any funding. So we have to be adaptable, I guess. So things like I'm now living in a van to cut down on costs, like rent and stuff. And you know, you do what you can and you try to be smart. You work as much as you can on the off season, and you make a good bit of sacrifices. But it is all worth it at the end of the day.
You're living in a van, which tells me exactly the commitment that you've got to this, and this is your career path and this is what you want to do. And it's commendable and it's lovely to hear somebody putting in that kind of effort. But at the same time, we're hoping coming out of this podcast that not just in West Cork, but somebody listening might get in touch and help you with the sponsorship. And what would sponsorship allow you to do, Anaïs?
Sponsorship would allow me to reach my full potential. At the moment, I am training as much as I can and I'm putting in the dedication. Coaching alone costs money. The course fees cost money. And without being able to pay those bills, that is the barrier that we are facing. We have the 2023 World Championships, which will be coming up next year in Columbus in America. And that's going to be a huge amount of time off of work and a huge expense alone just to be able to travel and compete to represent their country, and unfortunately none of that is funded. So if someone could potentially give any bit of funding, it would help me to live my dream and represent Ireland obviously do the best I can.
Yes, because I think, to be fair, kayaking and water sports are huge when it comes to the Olympics, but this type of discipline is not yet an Olympic sport, as you've said, but it may well do in the future.
Yeah, there has been talks that it might become an Olympic discipline down the lines.
And from your own point of view, look, this is, as we've said, commitment, we've said passionate about what you're doing in the sport. How much support do you get from those, your fellow competitors and anyone that you're dealing with over in Nottingham? It seems like, am I right in saying it's a close-knit group when it comes to freestyle kayaking, that I haven't heard too many more that are involved in the sport just yet?
Everyone, like at the moment, we have so many nations already beginning to start training over here, and everyone is super friendly. Everyone knows the struggles that each competitor is going through, and everyone tries to help each other out as best as they can. If that's, you know, sharing coaching sessions or helping each other by giving tips on the water or giving people like the best places to go shopping to make things cheaper. Everyone here is really supportive, is always smiling, and it's just a wonderful atmosphere to be around.
It sounds fantastic, and it's lovely to have that community spirit. Now, you come from an area in West Cork in Skibbereen. When did you leave Skibbereen to chase this dream?
I guess I've been chasing it back and forth for the last couple of, 3 years now. I left about 3 to 4 weeks ago, but before that I'd been flying and driving back and forth to Nottingham pretty much every third or fourth week in the month for a couple of weeks at a time. So it's always been flying the nest as such, but returning home, whereas at the moment I'm out here for the long run, I guess.
Why Nottingham? What is it that's in Nottingham that has you over there?
So Nottingham is where the 2022 World Freestyle Championships are being held. So it allows me to train on the feature we'll be competing in, which is extremely valuable. But not only that, they have some of the world's best features all in the one place. So in Ireland, we have some really good features, but they're tidal, they're rain dependent, but there's only one singular in each location. And to drive between those, it could be up to 4 hours. Whereas on the one course, within maybe 200 metres, we have three incredibly good features. And it just makes it more accessible to be able to train and to be able to do multiple sessions at a time for safety reasons.
Yeah, I love the way you say there's features. I mean, even looking at the video clips of what you're capable of doing inside in a kayak in unbelievably rapid water, to throw yourself up in the air and land again, it is fast. It's fabulous to look at, but you've got to be very fit to do this. You've got to be very dedicated, but you also have to be a lot of courage. And I know I don't mean to sound condescending, but like male or female competitors in this, you have to be completely 100% willing to do this, because I'm assuming, Anaïs, that you get something wrong, that it is quite a dangerous thing that you're doing inside in the water at that, you know, at that tempo and with those rapids coming at you.
I think at the level that we're all training and competing at, it's quite a low risk. I come from a creeking background where I'm kayaking on natural rivers, down waterfalls. So this is nothing in comparison. And I guess if we capsize, meaning our boat turns upside down, we do what's called a freestyle roll or just a roll, and that brings us back upright again. And the other thing is, I also know that anyone who's sitting inside next to me in the water, they all have my back. So if something does go wrong, I know that someone is going to come as quickly as they can and help me get back on my feet.
Oh man, I admired the bravery and the exuberance of you, the way you just described it, because when you look at it, it looks
fantastic to be in that kayak, to be doing a flip from the water and landing back on. The dedication and the courage, and I say it again, the courage that it takes to do those things. I don't think you should undersell it. It is a fascinating sport, and it's one I can see being very attractive to sponsors and TV down the line and radio as well when it comes to the Olympics. And I would imagine the way the Olympics is going and certain disciplines are being introduced all the time, this is one with all the European Championships and the Worlds next year, as you said, it looks like it's only heading one way, and that is to an Olympic discipline.
It would be cool if it could, because I think it would open a lot more pathways and doors for athletes to be able to train more full time.
Indeed it would. Well, look, Anaïs O'Donovan, we're delighted to see your progress. It is fantastic to hear that you're putting in such an effort and so much dedication, living in and out of a van, training all the number of days and the length of hours that you're putting in. We hope that people will listen to this and help you with some sponsorship, because it will be well worthwhile. I can hear your dedication. I've seen it on your Instagram page. Where can people find you on social media?
I think the easiest place to find me on social media would be Instagram or Facebook. So it's just Anaïs O'Donovan on both of those. It's probably the easiest way to find me.
Anaïs O'Donovan, we're going to keep track on how you're getting on, just not just this summer, but in the coming years. And hopefully we'll see you at some stage, not just at the European and World Championships, but in Olympic finals as well. Continued success on your career. And it was a real delight to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on. Talk to you soon.
Access Credit Union now offers Cultivate Farm Finance and is ready to support local farmers. With a Cultivate loan, farmers in West Cork can benefit from the local decision-making and personal service offered by their credit union. To find out more, go to www.accesscu.ie/cultivate or call on 028 21883.
Now, finally, before we wrap up this week's show, just a few notes to draw your attention to. Obviously, this week's Southern Star Sports section is in shops now, and some of the things to look out for in particular in this week's edition include our profile of the 30-strong Irish road bowling team that's heading to the European Championships in Germany this weekend. There's, unsurprisingly, a massive West Cork interest, so that's worth picking up and reading if you're interested in road bowling or not. We also have news and reaction to the fact that Cork are going to be hosting Loud in the football qualifiers. That game will be played in Páirc-Uí-Chaoimh, and there's more details in this week's Southern Star. What else? Oh, we've got a really interesting article by a student from Macroom who won Newsbrand's Journalism Award, and she's writing about some of the characters that make the GAA special. We also have reports from Mount St. Michael's famous win in the Cork post-primary school's Senior B final. They beat Middleton CBS. We've got reports and photos from that. We've also got a report from Colasta Poblaventry's Cork championship win. They won the Senior C title. Is there anything else now I don't want to miss? We have a match report from Clonakilty's draw with Drina in the West Cork League Premier Division. So that title race is really heating up. And Martin Walsh in the motorsports section has a massive story, and that's the news that Keith Cronin, Ballylickey's Keith Cronin, has made the switch to Pirelli tyres ahead of this weekend's Jim Clark Rally in Scotland. So loads there to stick your teeth into this week. And if you can't make it to the shops to pick up a copy of the Southern Star, you can always subscribe online. Just go to www.southernstar.ie/e-paper and read the Southern Star on your computer, tablet or smartphone for less than €2 per week. Thanks for listening to the Star Sport podcast. I'll be back at the same time next week with Kieran McCarthy, who will be returning. If you enjoy these shows, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Slán tomhúil.